God is great. God is good. And that's why we are called to bless, not to curse. We are called to bless all men. We are not called to judge. We're not the judge. You can make a judgment, but you're not the judge. There's a final appeal somewhere in heaven. Let God decide. God is just. God is fair. God is loving. God is kind. And God forgives sinners. He doesn't desire the death of anyone. He's not interested in someone dying. He's for life. We have a God who ever liveth. And you know, I'm grateful to God that He didn't judge me according to my wickedness, according to my natural selfishness, and that He not only forgave me, but He wanted to change me and help me, correct me. I needed help. Does anybody else need help sometimes? Well, you know, you need help. So God is not a dead God. He's not far, far away. He's a God that's near at hand. Anyone can call on Him. You don't have to qualify. You don't have to be prepared. You can just cry out to Him and use Him, and He loves it. He loves to bless us. Has anyone been blessed?
Amen.
You know, has anyone been blessed? God is a good God. We ought to be dead. We ought to not be here, but we're here. And we're here to be a blessing, to be blessed and to be a blessing. So no complaints, no gripes. Don't worry. Everything will sort out. Everything will sort out. Those that lost someone didn't lose anyone. God has all things in remembrance. And so therefore you don't have to be afraid. Perfect love casts out all fear. So fear is a big one. How many know that everybody has it? Everybody has fear. You fear something. You fear dying. You fear living. You fear, you know, failure. You fear success. You can fear everything. But don't be afraid. God has not expected us to carry the burden or, you know, figure everything out. We don't know everything. We don't know everything. How many know that you're not as smart as you think you are? As you imagine yourself to be. And every once in a while you're not as strong and capable as you imagine yourself to be. And you're certainly not as good as you expected yourself to be. So, all of that's true. But God is good, and God is strong, and God is able, and God is great, and He's full of mercy. So, the Lord is good. Now, today I want to look at Hebrews chapter 9. I want to begin in chapter 9 on where do I want to begin? Let's begin at 22. Now, this is the book that Paul wrote, or somebody wrote, but most people think it's Paul. But he didn't sign his name. But this is the book that he wrote to the Hebrews. Whoever wrote this wrote to the Hebrews, to the Jewish people. And the Jewish people have a special destiny which they flunked. They failed. They didn't succeed. And they were to be the people of God that everyone would look at and say, ah, let's be like that. Instead, they didn't do it. How many know that people are like that? You set out with a goal and then you fail. And so even though they failed, we got a chance now to fail. How many know that we'll fail too?
Yes.
You're not going to make it. You don't have the whatever it takes. But God, who is full of mercy and loving kindness, will cause the people of Israel to turn back to Him. And in these days, you will see they will return. And they're the only nation like this. All other nations are normal like we are. But every nation will have some that turn to the Lord with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength and so on. And that's God's doing. It's not our doing. How many realize you're helpless to be whatever you need to be? You can try. And you can, you know, gain a few things and do a few things. But in the end, it's not perfect. It's not perfect. And God wants perfect. He's really into that. And let Him do it. Since it's His idea, let Him do it. How many know that you can't do His idea? The reason that He made you originally was so you would live before Him in perfect copying Him. Just like Him. You'd be like God. But nobody ever did. Nobody. And so the history of the world is the history of men not being able to do what they were originally created to do. which is to love one another and to love the Lord and to, you know, get along and so on and so forth. We didn't quite do that. So don't be surprised that history is full of wars and rapes and pillaging and all that kind of nonsense. It's all right. God looks over that, and whoever wants to doesn't have to live that way. You can live in a different way. The only problem is you can't do it by yourself. You need help. You need God to forgive you, and then you need God to help you. Amen?
Amen.
So we're not the strongest people. We're not the smartest people. We're not the goodest people. We're just people. And all people are people. That's why I go all over the world. I go everywhere, all kinds of nations, particularly those that are poverty-stricken or in trouble or famine-possessed or whatever. Because I like to go among people and give hope. And you know what? People respond. I've never gone anywhere among Muslims, among Hindus, among Christians, among Jews, among Russians. It doesn't make any difference where I've gone. People always receive the message. Isn't that interesting? Because I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not ticked off. I'm not judging anybody. I don't care if you're a communist or if you're a Buddhist or if you're a Satanist or whatever. It doesn't make any difference. I don't take people seriously. In other words, just because a person belongs to a certain country or tribe or group or religion or philosophy or something, that doesn't mean they're a people. They're the same as I am. They like to eat. They like to sleep. They like to have children. They like to have fun. They like to live. So we have a lot in common. Do you all understand that? So we're not better than, greater than, smarter than anybody. We're just the same as. Isn't that pitiful?
Yes.
That's sad. We're just the same as. You look at somebody and you think, what's wrong with that person? But that person's like you. The reason you got upset is because that's you, actually. They just didn't cover it as well as you do. They just didn't hide it as well as you know how to hide it. But Christians are known for being hypocrites and phonies. The Christians are known for being hypocrites and phonies. It's okay. Did you know that God loves people anyway? He doesn't care if you're a hypocrite. He doesn't care if you're a phony. He sees right through it. And he loves you anyway. You all understand that? That's how I got in. How do you get in? It's the same. So, the best is yet to come. How many know God has something good planned, even though there's a lot of evil and bad stuff? God has a better future for us. Isn't that good? And he can do whatever he wants. No, he will do whatever he wants. No, even better. He has always done whatever he wants. Never been thwarted. He's never been denied. So you and I could gather together and we can't stop him. We could oppose him all we want. We can fill ourselves up with demons. It won't make God stop loving us. Some of you have actually been filled with demons. Could you raise your hand? I love it. Was that a hand raise? That was just a cough. It's nothing. It's okay. Jesus met that many times. He just cast them out. You can set people free in a second. You can heal a marriage in 20 minutes. There are no impossible situations. Are you aware of that? We have a God who is not far, far away, but a God that's close at hand. He loves you. He wants to change you this morning. He wants you to be happy all the time. Can you be happy all the time? Mm-hmm. No, of course not. But you can be. You can be by faith. That is, you can be by faith happy all the time. You can't feel it all the time. Nobody has feelings all the time. Even Jesus didn't always feel it. So that's not important. How many know that feelings are not really a good indication of anything? That's just what you feel. A feeling just comes and goes. It isn't caused by anything. It's just there. You feel something. But it has no basis in reality. Because I feel that the policeman who's pulling me over is going to give me a ticket, doesn't mean he will. Once I tell him I'm a pastor, he might not. It doesn't matter what you feel or think. Your thoughts are not decisive. You can decide, and you are free at all times to be happy and to turn everything around. Whatever the circumstances are, you can rethink it. You can decide this is a blessing from God or it's a curse. It's up to you. You can decide that. You can decide the people are against you. You can decide they're all for you. I basically think everybody's for me, even when they hate me. I don't really care. It doesn't bother me at all. Even when they're out to get me, it doesn't bother me. Go for it. It doesn't matter if they shoot me. I've had the knife at my throat, all that stuff. It doesn't bother me. I'm not troubled by that. Why? I think God likes me and keeps me alive and keeps me going. And now that I'm 71, I made it past 70. And that means by reason of strength, I might live to be 80. And maybe 80, then I'll go to 90. And I'm really planning on about 110. Because I feel like I'm young. I feel like I'm just getting started. And I'm not here for myself. I don't need anything. I'm ready to die right now. I'm finished, full life, totally, totally content. Totally. All my children, grandchildren, everybody. But I'm here for others. I don't have any needs. I don't have any needs. I mean, I don't care about them. Do you all understand that? Are you content in whatever state you are? Are you content at all times? Okay, somebody stand up and say, I'm content at all times.
I'm content at all times.
Good. Powerful. Three people. That's good. That's good. Three content people. Is there a fourth? Is there a fourth?
Content at all times.
Woohoo! Praise God. It's good. I love it. The reason it's important to be content is because you don't have any control anyway. Did you know that people that are control freaks are frustrated? Because you don't control anything. You're not a big controller. You're a big celebrator. You know, you can celebrate every day. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You can celebrate every day, and I do. I do every day. No matter how things look or how things are, I'm not. Peggy can tell you for 30, 40 years, whatever it's been, I've never griped or complained. I don't care. I'm not mad, not excited about anything. I'm just in love. Just walk about celebrating. I don't have any guilt for the past. I have no fear of the future. So I just celebrate in the present. I love my family. I got the best family in the world, the best children, grandchildren, the best church members, the best enemies. Everybody's the best. Do you all see that? So I don't want the world to change so I'll be happy. I'm happy whether the world changes or not. Now, I pray that they will change to be as happy as I am, but I don't really have any power to make them. You don't have any power, Tommy. You don't have any power to make people around you happy, but you can make yourself happy. And that's all you really need to do. It's just, hey, I've decided God loves me, that everything's going my way, so I'm not worried. There's no need for worry. You don't have to worry. I'm not a worrier. I don't worry about anything. I don't care that someone shoots me. I don't care that I get sick. I don't care anything. I don't care. Why? Why? Because I know I'm loved. When you know you're loved, it's over. When you know everything's going your way, then you're content. So I don't feel sorry for people. Maybe kids, little kids, because little kids often are victims of big people. I know big people can be stupid at times and do dumb things. But other than little kids, I didn't feel sorry for adults. Grow up. It's time for you to decide. You want to be happy or miserable? How many have decided to be happy? It's just a decision. You just decide, well, I believe that God likes me. I just believe everything. I believe everything's going my way, whether I see it or not, whether I understand it or not. Amen. I just believe everything's going my way because I believe God's good. He's up in the heaven and he likes me. Now, that comes not from your natural existence. Natural existence doesn't produce that. But from the scriptures, which says God loves you unconditionally. No conditions, no conditions, no conditions, no qualification. He loves and he loves sinners. Actually, people that hate him, he loves them. So I decided, well, I should do the same thing. If somebody hates me, I should love them. And I've gone to Mozambique where there was famine, pestilence, and the sword. I mean, that nation was being devastated. 4 million people every year were dying. 4 million people every year. And they only had 13. So that was a tragic situation. And, you know, when I went there, I remember flying over. Never been to Africa before. I remember flying over, looking down and thought, God, they have cities. I bet there's going to be huts. You know, I didn't know. Chiefs out in huts, you know. But they didn't have regular cities. But when I got on the ground, I found out something. There was nothing in those cities. They were empty. I'm talking about the capital itself, Maputo. I was shocked. No stores. Not one store in the entire country. That's devastation. That's worse than Darfur. That was worse. That country was absolutely destitute. Years later, not only had I witnessed to the entire government, but about a third of the government became Christian. Not only that, they turned from Marxism to the West. Not only that, President Reagan at the time wrote me a letter thanking me for what I had done in that country, not as a politician, but as someone who, you know, gave them food, clothing, medicines, whatever it is they needed, anything they needed. Every month, I would send a shipload of whatever it is they needed. And that was a good calling card. And they liked it because they said, what if the soldiers steal your stuff when it goes into port? I said, no problem. Let them steal it. I'll send them another one next month. So I didn't even care. So it was neat. We went to South Africa. And I went to the church in Cape Town and another church and so on and so forth. And I said, I want you guys to send in a team when I go in and fly in candy, toilet paper, Vaseline, all kinds of things that nobody had in the country because there were no stores. And so a private airplane, which I hired with a pilot, he flew in all that stuff when I went in there. And that was the first time I ever met that government. And I met with more people in the government than Henry Kissinger. Literally. I met with three a day for five solid days. So I was 15 different, the head of mines and the head of education and the head of small industries and so on. I met with every government official and they said, what do you want to do? I said, I want to meet with everybody. So they said, well, you want to meet with everybody? Yeah, everybody. Because we want to give hope to people that have no hope. And since they had no hope, they said, yeah, you can do it. And so that way, we were able to impact not only the people there, but the president himself, Samora Machel. And Samora Machel was killed flying to meet me in his palace on Monday morning. He was killed on a Sunday. And whether he was killed deliberately or by an accident, it's immaterial. But the point is, that's what he was doing. He was flying from Lusaka to Maputo. And I was there, and I remember when he died, when they announced it, by the way, the president, who was a Marxist, and he used to hold my hand in his palace, and we have videos of this, by the way. He used to hold my hand, walking up and down, and quote scriptures to me. Now, he's a Marxist. But he would say, what do you think of the rich man? You know, and Lazarus, that's bad, isn't it? I'd say, yes, but, and then I would say something. And we had a ball, because he knew I was helping his country. And when he came here to Texas, he only visited two people, President Reagan, and then here in Texas, to meet us, period. And he said, of all the groups that have helped us over the years, this is the group that has given the most. Now, they've sent more stuff and brought more people. We had 40 people ready to relocate to Mozambique to help them with their prawn industry, their farming, their milk production, whatever it was that they needed, just because we loved them. And we didn't care that they were Marxists or communists or what they were. They're people. People who are dying, people who are dying without hope, and it's powerful. God is good. How many know that God is good?
Amen.
And not only did we go there, I have gone all over. Whether it be Mozambique with Chad, we've gone, not Mozambique, but Moldova, or whether it be Israel, whether it be Russia, it doesn't make any difference where, China, India. Wherever you go in this world, there are people that need help and people that need hope. And so if you don't have it, you can't fake it. But if you really love people and you're not afraid of the pygmies or you're not afraid of, you know, knives at your throat or whatever, if you're not afraid, you can accomplish a lot. If you don't need any pride, you don't need any, you know, money. I never took a penny. I would never take a penny. I've been offered lots, homes, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars and so on. I would never take it. Most ministers do. Most ministers, I guess all ministers do, but I wouldn't. I said, absolutely not. I wouldn't take a thing. I'll give. I won't take. Why is that? That's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. So in the Bible, you don't take, you give. God gives. I take from Him. But whatever He gives, I give. Why? Because that's what He says to do. And it really works. So you can get along with Muslims in Badagry, which is where all the slaves went forth out of West Africa, in Nigeria. So that's in Western Nigeria, which used to be all Muslim. Today, it's not all Muslim. Today, it's primarily all Christian. That's a miracle. In 30 years, that transformation took place. It used to be just in the East where the Igbo people lived. And I have 4 Igbo sons that live in America from Iba. The chief there saw me and he said, I want you to raise my sons. I'm sending them to America. You take care of them. So they're still all here. And Muslims would come to the meeting. I didn't know they were Muslim. But after I'd preach, they would come forward afterward and say, pray for us. I was okay. And then I saw there were about 500 in line. And I'd say, well, some of you other guys, come and help pray. No, they don't want, you have to pray for all. I can't pray for 500 people. They said, no, you will. You will just stay here until you're done praying. So I was there until the wee hours. God bless so-and-so. They don't even speak English. But they just wanted me to pray for them. So it was powerful. But Muslims are hungry also. They don't have Bibles. That was one thing they would ask me. Could we get a Bible? Because they're not allowed to read the Bible. They're not allowed to have one. And so that meant, trouble. But they were so hungry. And so God is good. How many know the goodness of God isn't over? The goodness of God isn't over. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 9. And this is what it says. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Almost all things under the law are purged with blood. In other words, if you want to be right with God, you have to shed blood. Not somebody else's, not yours, but Jesus's. Jesus's blood was shed for you, and that's how you purge. Now, it used to be they had lambs and goats and cows and stuff like that, and they would sacrifice them in the Jewish ritual. So every Jewish person understands this. I've been to Israel umpteen times, all kinds of times. And when you go there, they had a whole setup of little lambs that were raised in Bethlehem, 7 miles away, and then they would bring them and sacrifice them, and then the people who sinned could have that blood sprinkled on them, and then they were okay. Well, we don't have to do that. And I'll tell you, the lambs are happy. They're a lot happier. They're very appreciative. And so God didn't want lambs and bulls to be someone, an innocent lamb that hadn't done anything wrong, to die for you, to be sacrificed for you. So, but under the law, it said, if you sin, you will die unless you appeal to the blood, unless you ask for mercy. And that's the way He did it. Okay, that's the law. We are not under the law. We're not Jewish. Praise God. We're not Jewish. We're not under the law. Hallelujah. Jesus came and died for all mankind, not just Jewish people. He died for everybody. I'm taking advantage of that. Wow. He died for me. Because I've sinned. I still do it. I'm on the one-a-day plan. But you can sin. How many know you have sinned? That is, you're selfish at times. You only think of yourself. You're not thinking of others. You're not loving anybody else. You're worried about your income or your retirement program or, whatever. You're worried about your health. You're worried about your relationships. You're worried about your family. You're worried. But how many know Jesus doesn't want you to worry? No sweat. You're to live every day. Could you actually live on this earth, literally, without sweat, without worry, without care? Could you be carefree? Yeah. Could you be in a marriage that doesn't work and be happy? Could you be in a church that was full of hypocrites and be happy? Could you be in a world where 9/11 happens? Oh. Oh, yeah. Very good. Could you have a glass fall out of your lens and be happy? Yes. But I'll have to drive home. Let's see. It'll probably fit in there somehow. All right. Thank you. God is good. How many know that God turns all things for the good of them that love Him, that trust in Him, that look to Him? God, help out. Help out. Thanks. I'm going to bed. Night. And God loves to do things. That's His nature. That's what He wants to do. Forgive you for all the stuff you did wrong, including killing His Son. No problem. So under the law, all things are purged by blood. In other words, God is satisfied once He sees the blood and you put your faith in it. But since the law is over now for us, the Jewish people are still trying to keep it, but that's all right. They'll change. The Jewish people are going to change. I used to meet with the rabbi every week in Fort Worth, the big temple there. We would discuss these things all the time. And he was great. I loved him. But because of love, we had a connection. Not because of the same theology. Don't have the same theology. We had a totally different view of things. Thank you. It's a miracle. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Tommy.
Not often I'm involved.
It's good. I can see. Ah, yeah, it is Tommy. All right. So, I don't know why I need these. I don't need these. Now, God is great and greatly to be praised. Jesus Christ died once for all, never has to happen again, for all men, Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, witchcraft people, Satanists, it doesn't matter. Islam, he's not mad, he's not ticked off. It's just not true, but he's not angry. He's mad at the sin, but not the person. He's mad at the sin, but not the person. You can be mad at sin, you can't be mad at persons. Look, you've sinned. Everybody that got into this church had to come in as a sinner. Raise your hand if you're a sinner and you got in that way. Okay, no problem. And you even can sin after you get in. How many are on the one-a-day plan like I am? Okay, no problem. I know somebody that three times in one day they sinned. Three times in one day. Can you imagine? And she's sitting right here. Allie. Three times. Remember that? Yeah. Okay. So you can survive. You can be happy. You sin four times one time. You beat Allie. Now you can sin all you want. That is not what God's worried about. You know what God's worried about? He doesn't even count sin as sin. What you think is sin is not sin to God. He doesn't care that you committed adultery, murder, whatever. You know what He cares about? Is that after you did that, you did not believe that He would forgive you and love you. That's the sin. That you didn't believe that Jesus' blood covered forever the sins of mankind. He's not going to send anyone to hell because they sinned. The sin now is not believing that He's merciful. That He wants everyone to be at home with Him. Everyone. He desires not the death of any sinner. Do you understand that? That includes all the people that you think He wouldn't include. I told you about Son of Sam. Son of Sam is the most notorious bad guy living in New York. What? I know. I'm not going to say that other name that I said last time, so we tried to erase that off the tape. Because that other one, who is maybe more demonic even than Son of Sam, didn't want anyone to know that he's become a Christian. But anyway, Son of Sam just wrote a preface to the Bible, which is his testimony. And it goes to every prisoner in the United States. And every prisoner in the United States is going to get a Bible in his cell with Son of Sam. Now he calls himself Son of Hope today. And he saved one of our church members in Fort Worth. One of our church members, Clay knows him. He saved Evan. And Evan and his wife, Rain, they were both atheists. They didn't believe in God at all. Today, they are powerful for the Lord. And they're happy. And it's just too much. Anyway, Son of Sam, he writes to all these prisoners who are really bad. He writes to all of them, and just because he's fascinated by why would you chop people up and why would you kill people and so on, he writes to them, and Son of Sam wrote back and said, "Don't write to me again unless you talk about Jesus." He had become a Christian. Well, today, they even would pardon him and let him off, because he's a model prisoner. But he doesn't want to. He's having such a ball inside the prison system, having a huge impact. Well, here it is. His testimony is going to go in every Bible of the American Bible Society. and it has to be the first two pages of their Bible. Isn't that amazing? We have copies if anybody wants it. But what his story is, and it's a life-changing story. It's my story. It ought to be your story. Is, hey, I was once going my own way and didn't care, and today I'm in love with the Son of the living God. Anyway, his blood covered for all of you. Paid the price. You don't have to be in prison anymore. You don't have to be in prison to doubt or to worry or to drugs or to alcohol or to, you know, sex or whatever. You don't have to be in prison. You can actually live a holy, happy, and fruitful life. Amen? Who has such a life? Who does? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11? Yeah. Even though you sinned three times, you didn't sin this time. Raise your hand all the way. Okay. Now, see, she was about to sin, but I got her to raise her hand. All right. God wants you to be radiantly happy all the time. And it's possible. You don't have to be. You can go to heaven without being radiantly happy all the time. But God wants you to know you have that option to live that way. It's just a choice. Do you want to be radiantly happy or you want to be miserable? You want to look for problems? You want to look for troubles? You want to look for disease? You want to look for difficulty? You'll find it. But there's another way, and that's look for the good hand of the Lord and everything. And I believe that good conquers bad. I believe that love conquers hate. I believe that light conquers darkness. I believe that that which is of God is greater than that which is of the other guys. All the other things will not endure. The only thing that's going to endure forever is the kingdom of God. So, read this. This is so powerful. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness or remission of sin. It was therefore necessary, verse 23, Hebrews 9:23. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in heaven should be purified with these. In other words, with the shedding of blood. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. In other words, the Jewish law religion said, if you commit a sin, you will die unless you trust in the blood. But that was the blood of goats and bulls and everything. Now, a better deal. This is God's saying, I didn't really want that. That was never my real idea. That was just a temporary idea that I gave to the Jewish people, and of course they flunked. But it's okay. I have a better idea. I'm not going to put any pressure on you. I'll put all the pressure on myself. How many know that's a better deal? If God puts all the pressure on you to behave, that might not work. But if God puts all the pressure on himself to behave, that'll work. And if he does it for not himself, but for you, that's even better. That everything God has ever done, ever, is all for you, just like a good parent would do for his children. Do you know that there are parents that actually love their kids? I love most of my kids. Especially the one in the back who's my favorite. That's Margaret. She's the best. Now, if the others were here, I would say that too. But I lie to them. I'm telling the truth with her. No, I love all my kids. Now, the truth is that a parent can do that on earth. It's possible to love each other. But as a Christian, you really, that's what you're supposed to be doing. Why? It works. You know, hatred doesn't work so well. Has anybody tried that? It doesn't work so well. It'll only make you bitter. It'll only cause you to be bitter. I don't know if it'll hurt the other person or not, but definitely hurts you. So he's got a better program here, which is, for Christ entered into the holy places not made with hands. In other words, not human churches like this one. He doesn't go into those kind of places, which are the figures of the true one up in heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us, for us, for us, for us, for us, for us. Everything that he ever has thought, said, and done is all for us. Everything he has thought, said, and done is all for us. Judy, everything is for you. He has never had one thought except thoughts of peace toward you. I want Judy to be totally like my son Jesus. And I know she's got issues, but I'll wait her. I'll just keep giving my love to her until she gets it. Did you know that God is so patient? He's long-suffering. You can resist him. It's okay. Don't. Trust him. Why? Because he loves you. He's the only one that loves you. Let's say you don't believe in him. It's okay. Don't. It's okay. It doesn't hurt him. It's okay. But he is seeking to get the truth to you so that you can be free. Perfect love, his, casts out all your fear. You don't have any more fear. I'm not afraid. I'm not fearful. Next verse, 25. Nor yet that he should offer himself again and again, as the high priest enters into the holy place every year with the blood of others. So the Jewish high priest had to go in every year to forgive all the Jewish sins. And they don't do that anymore because they don't have a temple and they don't have a priesthood. They have rabbis now. They don't have priests anymore. And they don't have goats and bulls and all that stuff. So they're trying to rebuild it. I doubt they'll be successful, but it doesn't make any difference. I mean, they've already spent millions and millions of dollars on the high priest robe and on the candlestick and all this stuff, solid gold and all that. I've seen them. But you know what? You don't need it. You don't need it. Why? Because God's already merciful. Jesus Christ already died. So it's, you know, but it's okay. I'm not mad at them. I'm not angry that they do it. It's just that they didn't know it's a free gift. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to spend billions of dollars to get it. You don't have to do anything. For then, if Jesus had to go in many times, he would have often suffered since the foundation of the world. So when did Jesus die? Did he die 2,000 years ago on a cross? No. Yes, he physically died, but he actually died before the foundation of the world, and it just showed up then when he came to earth and we killed him. Not a big thing. He actually died before the foundation of the world. So this has been planned. Like, God is not surprised that we've all sinned and turned away from him. It's not a problem. The world today, now I'm going to prophesy, the world today is being reaped by at least 100,000 a day. Every single day. I've given you the numbers before. But China has the biggest number who have received Jesus Christ. And Indonesia and India. I could give you the numbers for all of them. I have them all in my head. Every continent and every country is now coming to the Lord in such droves, even Americans don't know about it. You are not even aware of how many people are coming to the Lord in Uganda. And Uganda is a special country. It's the Pearl of Africa. I don't know. Did you know that? Did you know that was called the Pearl of Africa? That means there's something special about that country, and that's why we work there. And you guys have helped to build some of the buildings over there and taking care of the orphans. And Lynn, you've been helping the orphans over there and so on. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of orphans. That country is like 1/5 orphans. I mean, it's huge. Huge. Maybe it's even bigger than that. All these kids whose parents died of AIDS or died in the Civil War or Idi Amin, you know, did his thing or whatever. There are now kids everywhere who are in Christian orphanages, and they're the top students in the country. The ones in our orphanage, for certain. I mean, they go right to the top because they've been turned around. And the leader of the Civil War that went on for 20 years, his name is Kono. Kono is still alive. And the way that he stopped doing what he was doing was the people in Uganda began to not just pray, get Kono or get him out or whatever. They began to say, Lord, bless Kono. Help us not to be such hypocrites. And they repented of their own sin. And you know what happened? He said, he's still alive. He said, my witchcraft is gone. My power is gone. And he fled. He was the biggest rebel leader in jihad in Sudan. Today, southern Sudan is not in his power. He was the biggest terrorist in Uganda for 20 years, raping the girls. He took the little girls that were in school. He would rape them with his soldiers. He'd take the young boys and he would drug them, send them back to kill their parents so they had nowhere to run to and hide. And they had to be with him. They're still with him to this day. We have taken many of those orphans that were raped and many of those young boys that were drugged and had to kill their own parents and have set them free. Those are the ones I'm talking about. And Lynn, you met some of them. Who else went there? Did you go, Clay? Yeah, you also went. And you've gone. It's powerful, isn't it? Stand up and tell how powerful, how it changed your life.
It changed my life.
Wow.
Like being with prophets.
Yeah.
Incredible.
It was incredible. Yeah. It's too beautiful.
Thank God that I had that experience.
Yeah. I mean, it's unforgettable. Lynn, you also saw... It's too strong. It's too strong. Anyway, wherever you go in the world today, there's bad things, but there's good things. And it's God's desire that we do these good things, and time is running out now. But he has, Jesus has, once now in the end of the world. What that means is we're living in the last of the last of the last days. He has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So in other words, all the sins that you've ever sinned and ever are going to sin, he died for them. They're not going to be counted against you. You will not go to hell or go to heaven because of sin. Sin is not the issue. It's now just unbelief. You just don't believe God is good. You just don't believe God loves you. You just don't believe after what you've done and haven't done, God loves you perfectly and wants you in heaven. You no longer have to kill goats and bulls and, you know, find the proper protocol and try to figure out how to get on God's good side. You don't have to do a thing. God's done everything. Done, done, done. Wow, that's a good offer. No weight on us. Now, I took it. I thought, wow, that's a dumb offer to make to me. I'll take it. So I even though I've sinned and done all this stuff, you mean you'll let me in for free? I'll take it. Give me two of those. You know, I mean, it was like, wow, that's a good offer. Do y'all understand that? I had a little misunderstanding because I thought you could just keep sinning. That was a little misunderstanding I had. As I thought, well, since you're going to forgive sin, can I keep doing it? And he said, you could if you wanted to, but you won't want to. Yes, I will. No, you won't. And after I met Jesus, fell in love with him, he was right. It changed me. Changed me toward my mother, toward my wife, toward my children, toward everybody. And all of a sudden, I no longer was me. I was a different me. How many know that you are the problem with you? You're your own problem. Other people are not your problem. You may think they're your problem. It's actually you. And if you could just get rid of you being miserable, being judgmental, being critical, being selfish, and so on. If you just get rid of you, there's no problem. So all Jesus wants to do is give you happiness. How many are happy every day, all the time? It's good. Why not? Who's stopping you? God certainly isn't. Just make a decision. I'm going to do it. And he is appointed unto men once to die. Okay, so first of all, we're at the end of the world. Second of all, you are given once to die. Everybody has that. But afterward, the judgment. But you and I will never come into judgment. Once you've accepted Jesus who died for you, you can't be judged. He already died for your sins, so you can't die for your sins. Do you understand that? Once you've accepted that, and said, you don't have to do anything. You just simply accept that. Yeah, I accept that. I accept that I'm going to go to heaven, and I didn't do a thing to get there. I didn't do anything. But I just believe God is good. I didn't know God was good. I thought he was mean, and he wanted me to behave, and I didn't, so I was going to get it. Now I understand I was wrong. That's powerful. That will change this world. And the churches, most churches, are not really as clear about that as the Bible is. And when I read that, I was kind of like shocked. I don't know if this is true, because I don't think most Christians even know this. It's even better than I thought it was. It is awesome. Why would God love a sinner? That's all he loves. He doesn't care about anyone else. He said, I didn't come for the righteous. I came for sinners. Yahoo, me. Are you a sinner? Amen. You are. I knew you were. Let me see who else. Ah, Crystal. Are you a sinner? No, she's not. Okay. But he only loves sinners, Crystal. You have to be a sinner. Linda, is she a sinner or not?
Yes.
She is a sinner. She said you are. So, come on, just relax. Nobody's after you. There's no big bad guy out there trying to get you. If God be for you, who can be against you? If God's on your side, if God wants, you know, to bless you, who can stop him? Nobody. Nobody. So the best has been saved to the last. You bring out the dessert at the last. The best. So don't be looking forward to the Antichrist and all that bad stuff. It's all going to happen. But don't be looking forward to that. Something good is going to happen in the midst of all of that. As he's sorting out the world. And those that want to go his way, fine, no problem. But those that want to go with God, this is not a bad economy. This is a bad economy to people that are looking only at this world. But to you, God wants to bless you at this time. And he's in charge.
Hallelujah.
You're not subject to the economy. You are the one that is able, with God's help, with God's mercy, you're able to get favor. You're able to say, Yahoo! In the midst of everyone else going, oh my, you know, what can you do? So we've been in kind of a malaise ever since 9/11. You know, the stock market went down, this went down, that went down, so on. No, I'm not hurting. I'm not caring. Why? Because our God is good. And I believe that the best has been saved to the last. So get ready for blessing. Get ready for blessing. Last verse. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, that means everybody, and unto them that look for him, he shall appear a second time without sin unto salvation. In other words, the next time he comes, he's not going to deal with sin, your sins. He died for them already. That's over. But he's just simply going to receive everyone in as part of the bride. Do you have to know anything? Not too much. Do you have to do anything? Nothing. Do you have to believe something? Yes. Believe that it's all done. Believe that God is completely pleased. He doesn't need to be pleased with blood anymore. He's happy. Now, if you believe that, happy are you. Happy are all those that trust in the Lord. That there is a God in heaven. He's over history. And I read history all the time. But history is actually all working for what we're talking about. It's not working for how many people are in trouble and so on. It's working for, is there not a good God who rules in the affairs of men? Our founding fathers in this country actually believed that Britain, which was at the superpower of the world at that time, would fail and they would succeed. And even if they didn't, they refused to be miserable as Britain was. Miserable because why? Because their economic system was mercantilism, which means empire building. And everything was controlled by the government. Ours is today wrong. But in the beginning, the founders set up that our system would be free enterprise. People would be free, not troubled by the government, and so on. Do we have to accept the economy that we have today that's presented to us by the government? Absolutely not. No. I don't want the government to bother me. I want to be free to make my own decisions. I want to be free to fail. I want to be free to succeed. I want to do what I want to do. Y'all see that? And nobody makes me do it. I just want to. And I don't want the government telling me what, you know, what to do or what not to do. What do they know? How does the government know anything? Isn't the government just people? How come they're smarter than I am? I don't think so. You know, and not only that, Britain was the wrong political system, had a king. Some kind of king that ruled. No, we didn't want that. So we didn't have any nobles. When you came here, George Washington could have been a king, but they decided no nobility, no lords and peasants. Not only that, society was different. There was the top dogs and then the little people, peons at the bottom. Here, everybody was equal. Not only that, the religion was different. There, you had to be an Anglican. Even if you were a Catholic, you had to go to the Anglican church. I don't care what your religion, you had to go to the Anglican church. It was the law. Because they called themselves a Christian nation. So they just forced everybody to be a Christian. That's wrong. True religion can never be forced. You can't force people to believe something or to do something. Besides, it's already been done. Why force people? Look, let people be whatever they want to be. Say whatever they want to say. You're free to tell them about something or live something, but you don't have to force people, manipulate people, trick people, scare people. Amen? I witness to a lot of people, but I don't ever force anything or try to argue with them or anything. I just simply present my story. This is what happened to me. And if you want that, praise the Lord. It's a good thing. And I tell you, everybody in the world gets headaches. Everybody in the world is poor sometimes and hungry. You can just meet their needs. And when you do that, they become more interested in what it is you believe. When you show love, people are more interested. When you show, you know, that you're right and they're wrong, I don't think people are too interested in that. You know, they don't want to be told they were wrong. You don't know anything. You worship some pagan. I was a pagan. I grew up totally pagan. I didn't have any religion. I never went to church till I was 11. And at the first day that I went, the very first day that I went, I realized religion was hypocrisy. I just realized that I've told this story many times, but I just saw through it right away. And I never changed my mind. All the years that I was, even when I became a pastor, I never changed my mind that the mainline churches were just hypocrites. And that doesn't mean everybody was a hypocrite, but most people in those churches are hypocrites because the ministers are hypocrites. They actually put the weight on you to behave. They just want to use you for their own pyramid building and put their name on a billboard or something. A minister should be a servant. He should be someone that has no needs to have you meet, except for the glasses thing. Thank you. But other than the glasses, he should be someone who gives and gives and gives and asks nothing in return. Nothing. 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 The only way you can do that is to have a God. Have a God that loves you. How many know the best is yet to come? And we are favored above all people. Now, let's have one person stand up and I'll quit. One person stand up and say, powerful truth. I believe that. I believe everything you just said.